We had one of our listeners ask a question that was a pretty basic question about bats. You know, does Milwaukee have a lot of bats compared to other cities? You know, if so, why and what can slash should residents do? So in unpacking that a little bit, does Milwaukee have a higher bat population than other cities?
Not necessarily. I guess maybe than other cities we can have that conversation. So we do have bats in Milwaukee. We don't necessarily have more bats in Milwaukee in comparison to other parts of the state. There could be more bats, especially migrating through the area because we are near water. Same with birds or anything else that kind of follow those water lines. And so you could see more bats. Additionally, we've got some pretty good habitat for bats in Milwaukee. We have a really great county park system with a lot of undeveloped parcels, especially along those riverways. All of the bats that we have in Wisconsin eat insects. Insects like to buzz around near water and things like that. So it's a common connection that you would have bats here. I wouldn't necessarily say that we have more bats in Milwaukee in comparison to any other area, though.
Do we have a general idea of the population size, or do we ever really know that about bats?
So that's a great question. So in Wisconsin, we know that we have 9 bat species. We don't have a lot of information about their population specifically. I think there's 4 of them that are species of special concern, which means that they're rare but not at a threatened or endangered level. We have a few that are state threatened, and then we have a few that are federally threatened. And so there are some different distinctions there. But in general, it means that we don't have a ton of bats on the landscape, but we do have a fair number of them. So within Wisconsin, we have 9 bat species. Within Milwaukee, we actually just did some presence-absence information through another program within Milwaukee and found that there's probably a pretty good chance that we have 4 to 5 bat species within the Milwaukee area. Now, in order to survey for bats, you set up a program and you actually record bat calls. And then you're listening back to those calls to see who's calling, who you've recorded. And so some of the software that we use picks up one species. Some of the software that we use picks up other species. So we take that information and then we have to kind of parse it down and figure out, okay, is it really that common or that likely that we would have that specific species? So based on our understanding, we know that we've got 2 or 3 species, that might go up to 4 or 5. We probably don't have all 9 that you would find specifically within Wisconsin, but we do have a pretty good number.
So we have a fair amount in Milwaukee. If you're walking around Milwaukee, where are you most likely to encounter a bat?
That's a good question. All good questions. So within Milwaukee, again, if you're near undeveloped areas, bats, same with any critter, they need food and they need habitat. So food for bats are insects, particularly within Wisconsin. All of our bats are insectivores. In other parts of the country, you'll have frugivores, which are fruit eaters, but we have guys that like insects. So wherever you find insects, basically, mosquitoes, if you want to get rid of your mosquitoes, you want to have bats in your backyard. So near water, near habitat for those insects. Bats are, you know, they dwell within hollows or dark spaces during the daytime. So caves, we don't have caves in Milwaukee, but in trees, underneath buildings, things of that nature. So generally, if you've got older trees, bats are really good at hanging out in tree cavities or up against bark or something like that. So as long as you've got that habitat and that food source, you'll find them. So for example, I live in a subdivision. I've got some big old trees in my backyard, but I only own a 1/2 acre. I'm not necessarily really close to any other large undeveloped area. And I've definitely seen bats fly around my house before. That doesn't necessarily mean that they live nearby, but we have bats in the area. Bats can fly. They can fly pretty far. So just because you don't necessarily have a good spot for a bat to live within your backyard doesn't mean that you're not going to have bats moving around in your neighborhood.
So one of the things that happened to Josephine, the reason why she asked the question, is she got a bat in her house. And she, you know, she had someone remove it, but it seemed like there were a lot of stipulations around that. And I guess my first question here is, what brings bats into homes?
The same reason that a bat would go into the cavity of a tree. It's just looking for somewhere to spend the night. It doesn't know that your home is your home. It thinks that it's just a nice little hollow that it can live in. So if there's any kind of opening in your home, if that's a, you know, some boards that are out of place or something like that, that's where a bat's going to be able to find its way in. Bats are really not very big. They're kind of the size of a small rodent. So they can find a pretty small area. So my best recommendation to anyone is, especially in the springtime, look around your house and see if there's any openings, particularly in an attic area, that might be an area where a bat could get into, and then close that area up. If you think you have bats in an area, you can get what we call an exclusion trap. So a bat can get out of the house, but it can't get back in. Or you can hire someone and they'll have those exclusion traps and they can use those. The biggest issue that you touched on with regards to having a bat in your house is there are some stipulations associated with that. You can't legally kill a bat within Wisconsin. And during the summer time period, so from about June through middle of August, is the time when bats are raising their young. So those young can't fly during that time period. So if you put an exclusion trap on your home, it'll exclude the adult, but that young one is still in there. So that's why there's certain stipulations that say, unless there's a significant health hazard or something like that, you can't exclude a bat during that time period because you're likely excluding it from its young.
So if you do put in some kind of exclusion trap, it's something that should be done before the mating season, before the possibility of a bat coming in to raise its cubs. Is that
right? Pups.
Pups. All right.
Yes. So basically, you want to be putting that exclusion device in. I think the time where exclusion is not allowed is from June 1st to August 15th. I would have to double check my regulations, but I'm fairly certain that's the time period. And honestly, any time in the late May, early June into August-ish is a good time frame to not necessarily do that exclusion. It is possible that if you do have a bat and it's in your attic, there's a good chance that once it gets in your attic, it'll find its way back out. It found its way back in, so it can potentially get itself out. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
So you mentioned, you know, of course, like small holes that people might have in their home. But are there any things that people might not be realizing are ways that bats might get into their homes, like a dog door, like a chimney, like kind of open spaces that we might have all the time?
Mm-hmm. They're probably not going to come in through a dog door. It's extremely unlikely that they would be going that far down. They're not going to be able to push a dog door open. They're probably not going to be buzzing around near a dog when it happens to go in a door. A chimney is definitely an area that they would potentially get into. Additionally, there's a lot of other critters that can get stuck in your chimney. I've gotten calls about raccoons in chimneys, owls in chimneys. So if you do have a chimney, it's really important to put some kind of a cover. You can purchase something where it's got relatively small holes so smoke can still get out of the chimney, but animals aren't going to get stuck in the chimney. So kind of a meshing cover, more or less. Putting that over your chimney is generally a really good route to go. Bats are definitely, if you've got overlapping, you know, wood planks or something like that, they can definitely come up against a wall and spend their day up against your wall, especially if, depending on the landscaping around it, if it's a relatively dark area. That's not necessarily something to be concerned about because they're not getting into your house. They're just using your house. So that's not necessarily something to worry about. But chimney's probably the biggest one, I guess, that you'd have to be careful for.
And it does have to be something like mesh, I would imagine, because they're essentially little rodents who have bendable bones.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they're not really big. So you definitely want something that's a small enough mesh. I mean, they're going to be flying into an area like that. But yeah, you would still need a fairly small mesh in order to keep them out.
So I have actually had a number of bat encounters because I am from Wisconsin, and like many of us have had bats in my home. And we dealt with them three different ways. And I'd like to kind of hear what you have to say about each of these. So the first time we had a bat come in, we called someone who took the bat out, you know, went up into the corner. We didn't know what it was. This is something that might be important to say, but bats don't necessarily, they're not necessarily hanging down by their little feet. They're often mm-hmm. just curled up in like a little ball. So it just looked like a little furry thing in the corner of our room.
Yeah, a lot of times they can look a lot like a mouse that's sitting really still because they are probably smaller than your fist. They like to hang out in a dark area so you can't necessarily see them real clearly. They do not hang upside down by their feet just dangling like you always see in movies and things like that. They definitely hunker themselves up into corners so that they're generally surrounded by something solid.
And that was definitely the first one. The first mm-hmm. one was in the corner, we had someone professionally come in, go into the ceiling and grab him. The second one came in flying, and we did see them hang off a bit from the curtain, I think, to catch, you know, their grip for a moment. Apparently, they can't really walk.
They're not very good at it.
No, yeah.
They can.
They crawl or something.
Yeah, right? they can. I mean, they can't walk upright like we can. They've got, you know, they've got their feet and then they've got kind of graspers on their wings that can kind of help them move. But it's definitely not something that you would say that they can walk necessarily.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, we had a friend come over who had, you know, big gloves on and had a number of bats come into his home. He put it in a paper bag and took it outside.
Yep.
The third time, I was taking a shower with what I didn't realize was a bat, slowly made my way out of the shower, and my dad came down, big leather gloves, grabbed it with a towel, took it outside.
Yep. So both of those situations are really good things. The important thing there is the leather gloves. So bats do carry rabies. Lots of other animals carry rabies, so they're definitely not the only thing to be concerned about. But whenever you interact with a bat, rabies is a very low chance. But the thing with rabies is that if you get rabies, it is very nearly fatal. So you definitely don't want to kind of push that situation, so to speak. So if you do see a bat, absolutely, you can go and help it, but make sure that you've got those thick leather gloves or something like that so that the bat can't necessarily accidentally scratch you or bite you or anything like that. So leather gloves, grabbing it, throwing it outside. That's generally going to be, by and large, the easiest thing to deal with.
Do you think in most situations, especially situations where like the bat we cornered in the shower, immediately my father came in with, you know, gloves and a towel, and it was like, oh no, someone's trying to get me, and starts flying around the shower. And, you know, in those kinds of situations, if it's flying around, does it make sense to wait for a professional to come and help you? Or does it make more sense to grab some thick gloves, grab, you know, protective gear and get it out?
That's a good question. I think safety is always first and foremost. So whatever you're most comfortable with, if you're in an area that you think you can easily catch that animal, then by all means, you're welcome to. But if you would rather go with a professional who's dealt with this before, they've probably got more experience, they've probably got more equipment available to them and things like that. Normally in a situation like that, I would probably try to use some kind of a net, but we definitely don't always have that. So it just kind of depends on the situation itself. But again, first and foremost is health and safety, because bats, you know, it's extremely unlikely that they will be carrying rabies, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they won't, and you don't want to run that risk.
So if you're afraid that you have been scratched or something by a bat, what's the next move?
So if you have the bat available to you, if you think you've been injured by a bat in any way, shape, or form, you grab that bat and they will euthanize that bat and test it. That's going to be the easiest thing to check and make sure that whether or not that bat has rabies and then what they can do in that situation. Regardless of whether or not you have the animal, you should still go in to a hospital and explain the situation, explain, I think I was, you know, scratched by a bat, and they'll run tests to make sure, you know, to see if you have rabies or not. The biggest situation, if a bat is flying around, it's probably okay because it's, you know, it's moving around and it's active. When you see an animal a bat that's on the ground and looks sick, that's probably an area where I would be much more concerned about. That being said, if I ever was hit by a bat or scratched by a bat, I would still go in and get tested. But if you see a bat that's on the ground and sick, again, that in and of itself doesn't mean that it has rabies, but that's a situation where it's probably more likely rather than a bat that's actually flying around. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a question actually about it being on the ground, because I've heard conflicting things, because they don't really walk that well. I've heard if they get knocked to the ground that they will be on the ground for a bit until apparently they have to drop into flight.
Yeah, so they would have to actually get to a wall and then climb up a wall before they can actually fly. So that's why, like I was saying, if they are on the ground, that in and of itself doesn't mean that it's a sick bat. It just means that something happened. But if it's on the ground, that's more likely than anything else that there might be something else going on. If you find a bat on the ground, again, leather gloves, very important. Towel, because you can probably throw it on the animal pretty easily. Picking it up, moving into a box, taking it to a wildlife rehabilitation center near you, or even just taking it to a tree or something like that and letting it go, depending on if you think that animal was in fact injured or not.
So to kind of wrap up, what are the biggest misconceptions that you hear about bats when you're talking to people about them in general?
That bats are going to get stuck in your hair. They won't. I mean, not to say that they're not going to accident, that they're not going to fly into you depending on a situation, but bats have very, very good senses, and they're trying as hard as they can to not run into you. Actually, the more you move, if you think about the way a bat uses echolocation, it's shooting out those, you know, sound waves so that it kind of knows where you are. The more you move in that situation, the harder it is for the bat to track you. If you sit still, that bat's easily going to know exactly where you are and zip out of there and not have any issues. Bats here in Wisconsin, again, they eat insects. Other bats in the United States eat fruit. There are a handful of bats, I don't know how many, but a handful of bats worldwide that do drink blood, your standard, you know, vampire bat. But those animals, again, are not within the United States, and it is extremely rare for those bats to actually approach a human. More often than not, those are small bats that are looking for large animals, cattle, you know, large deer animals, things like that, because they're mostly in, I think those are mostly in the African area. So that's another thing. They're not going to try to suck your blood. They're not going to get caught in your hair. Bats are really good. So again, if you like mosquitoes, then you don't necessarily want a bat around. But if you don't like mosquitoes, which I think most everyone in Wisconsin could agree that they don't like mosquitoes, you like bats. They eat at least 1,000 insects every single night. So they're really good at taking out mosquitoes. So you definitely want them on the landscape. Additionally, in other parts of the United States, bats are very significant pollinators for a number of different species. I think almonds are one of the areas that they pollinate, and they are one of the exclusive pollinators for that plant. So without bats, there's a number of different species that we probably would not even have to the same extent that we do on the landscape. So they definitely do a lot of good things out there. Again, important to keep your distance, same as with any other animal. It's a wild animal. You want to give them distance. A lot of animals carry diseases. A lot of animals, if you confront them or corner them, will react. So, you know, that's not different from any other animal, but bats are not necessarily something bad to run away from screaming or anything like that.
Well, Diane, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your bat expertise.
Yeah, thank you very much.